I'm sorry I haven't a clue, the antidote to panel games. At the piano is Colin Sell, and your chairman is Jack D.
Thank you. Hello and welcome to I'm Sorry I Haven't a Clue. You join us today on a return visit to Chesterfield, and it's not every day you hear that said. The pioneering railway engineer George Stephenson set up a company here in 1837 and built the North Midlands Railway to connect Chesterfield to Leeds. But Stephenson was most famous for his rocket, which he put in Ponzi overpriced salads. The ancestors of Muppets creator Jim Henson came from nearby Matlock, where streets in a new residential development have been named in his honour. It's an exclusive area with parking restricted to Kermit holders only. In 1979, there was a series of robberies in the town by a notorious hooded thief who stole from corner shops and newsagents. He was only captured after a bounty was put on his head. Since the recession began to bite, Chesterfield has become known as the haunt of loan sharks, known as payday lenders with their extortionate charges. But Chesterfield today isn't only about people who attract massive interest. Let's meet the teams. On my left, Barry Cryer and Graham Garden.
On my right, Timber Taylor, Miles Jupp.
And please welcome the lady who always looks forward to handling the team's points, our scorer, the delightful Samantha. Well, we start this week with a look at the Uxbridge English Dictionary. The English language has many different words which appear to mean the same thing, but often don't. Take, for example, the difference between the terms elevate and raise. Well, elevate means to bring something to a higher level or promote somebody to a superior position, rank, status, or office, whereas raise, a drop of golden sun, me's a name I call myself, and far's a long, long way to run. The producer told me to sing that, but I said, no, no, no. But meanings are constantly changing, teams, so let's hear any new definitions you may have spotted recently. Tim, can you start?
Quaker, an upmarket duck.
Barry.
Trifle, Yorkshire gun.
Graham.
Pentecost, the price of posh underwear.
Miles.
Spruce. Who's that old man in the wig?
Gas trick. Raise energy prices without telling customers.
Kinship. A ship you're angry with.
Trench, Yorkshire spanner.
Hospice, equestrian discharge.
Bonus, what city bankers get when they handle money.
Tall, what's near front door?
Scarface, an accomplished knitter.
Well, the teams are going to demonstrate their acting skills now in the game called Sound Charades. This was developed from the old TV show Give Us a Clue. In the original version, the players had to perform in total silence, causing endless laughter from the audience. Obviously, no one's going to laugh at miming on the radio, so the teams will speak, allowing the audience at home to understand what no one's laughing at. Uh, Give us a clue. His best known performer was, of course, Lionel Blair. No reference to the show can be made without giving the breadth of his talent the credit it deserves. So that's that done. Tim and Miles, you're to start, please, and your title will shortly be displayed to the audience via the laser display screen. For listeners at home, here's the mystery voice.
A suitable boy. A suitable boy.
So off you go, please, Tim and Miles.
It's three words, and it's a book, and it goes like this.
Hello, I'm looking for an appropriate float moored in water to mark... I just really need it to mark a location, warn of danger, or indicate, for instance, a navigational channel.
Well, is this one any good?
I'm not sure that one's apt enough.
Right, some more over there.
Well, I think that one doesn't really have the requisite attributes.
Well, how about this one, then?
That is grossly inappropriate.
Well, I'm running out of options now. How about this one?
Oh, no, that is quite acceptable.
Are you sure?
Yes, indeed. Many thanks. Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Am Miles looking for a float?
Yes.
In water. A boy?
Boy.
Time's up.
Is boy in the title of this book?
Yes.
Well, that's handy. What are the other two words? It's not about a boy.
No, it could have been.
There's a something-something boy.
Yeah.
I don't think we need to go much further, really.
No, it's so obvious we don't even need to say it.
The right boy, the... Is the first word?
No.
No, it is...
A.
Correct.
A.
Rhymes with bootable.
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 A suitable boy.
Boy.
Well done, Graham and Barry. Right, your turn now. Your title is being exhibited on the laser display board, and here again is the mystery voice for listeners at home.
Winnie the Pooh. Winnie the Pooh.
This one is a book and a film.
And a film.
And it's three words long. Ah, there you are. You just missed Mr. Churchill.
Yeah. So it would seem.
Yes.
Open a window.
W.C. Churchill, open the window.
Affectionate nickname.
Affectionate nickname.
For
Churchill.
For Churchill.
Well, not for window, obviously.
I don't know what you like. Churchy, Hilly.
Winston.
Winnie.
Winnie!
Winnie the Pooh.
Yeah, it's hard to keep up with these guys, isn't it? Well, it's now time to play the game called Mornington Crescent. But first, a glance at the mailbag reveals we've received a larger than usual number of letters this week. It comes from a Mrs. Trellis of North Wales. Mrs. Trellis writes, "Dear you and yours, if you want to know the meaning of cheap and cheerful, put your budgie on Prozac." Yours is set for her, Mrs. Trellis. Right, well, on with the game, and this week, This week we're playing the version of Mornington Crescent known as Derbyshire Huff. I don't imagine I need to explain this, but just in case it slipped your mind, teams, this means that anyone landing on a huffing station can be huffed by the previous player known as the huffer, thereby reversing the order of play until another huff is huffed by a new huffer. As you'd expect, rule 7 is void. Tim, can you start?
Rule 7 is void, right. Finchley Road.
Ooh. Goode Street.
Yeah.
Covent Garden.
Ooh.
Mm. Ooh, you've played this before, haven't you?
Bank.
Huff. Huff. Huff.
What?
I've huffed him.
If you have him on
bank,
on bank, yeah. You can't huff him on bank. Obviously, you've ignored the fact. I did say that rule 8 is void.
Rule 7, you said earlier.
That is because rule 7 is void. Rule 8 becomes rule 7, which is void.
Euston.
Well, strictly speaking, you tried to huff him on bank, but that was set back, and then you started it with a station. Do you see what I mean?
Yeah, I do. I'm sorry, you're absolutely right. Pimlico.
Not really.
Well, can Barry huff him now?
Yes, he can. He can huff him.
Yeah.
Huff!
It's void.
Not with Pimlico, it's not.
No, we're invoking Rule 9.
Yeah. All right, fair enough. Craven Cottage.
Kensal Rise.
Argyle Street.
Clapham South.
Aldgate.
Oh.
Huff him.
Huff!
Oh, for goodness sake.
Huff!
The play goes into reverse now,
yeah,
doesn't it?
Yeah, you've got to reverse
it. It's my turn. Mm. Crappy Rub Sniff. That's Finsbury Park backwards.
Yes.
If I do it gently, can I go to Cock Foster's?
You can go to Cock Foster's. It's a little premature, but yes.
Cock Foster's? No, surely not.
You could try huffing him.
Huff! No. Cock Foster's, come on.
Barry is technically in a huff now.
I can go back to bank, can't I?
It's not your turn now.
So, Miles.
Right. Right, I've got a restricted oyster. So.
Sorry to hear that.
Yes, I am.
Well, I've got to go to Kilburn Park.
Mornington Crescent.
Yes.
Oh, yes. Well, the next round is called In Their Own Words, and it's where we take a look at celebrities talking about their lives. Our own Timbrook Taylor published his autobiography recently. Surprisingly, Tim reveals how a few years ago he contemplated a change of life by giving up his acting career and going into retirement. But endless days sat in an armchair with nothing to do week in, week out, year after year. Could he really give that up? Okay, I have here the words of TV horse racing pundit John McCririck, from which certain passages have been removed, and I'd like the teams to try to fill in the missing bits. So I'm going to start. I'm a pretty...
ugly sod.
unpleasant person is what he said.
Oh.
I don't have many friends, and I don't want them. I was once attacked by a racegoer at Newmarket with...
good reason.
Cream cake. I was reliably informed that my assailant was paid
by public subscription.
It's a monkey or £500. As far as clothes are concerned, I dress modestly, tastefully, and
in total darkness.
Everything I put on has a practical use. The cloaks I wear are for both warmth and...
flashing purposes.
Coolness at race meetings. It's not being at all gimmicky. I can open them or close them according to the...
voices in my head.
to the weather. The bright suits and the eye-catching clobber act as beacons for...
snipers.
to the high gantry TV cameraman.
Oh.
The hats keep me dry, warm and cool. The fez doesn't blow off when it gets windy.
Unlike me.
And is totally practical. There was a poll taken recently, and I was the second most hated man in the country. Number one was...
me as well.
That's Simon Cowell. The public voted me out of Big Brother as soon as they could, but I was in it for the...
free toilet paper.
For the money. Some men are leg men, some are bum men, but...
I am a tit.
It says, I like breasts. I like big breasts. Always have. And the bigger the better. Those who haven't got big chests have no...
right to vote.
No chance with me. I'm a great breast man. My favourite fantasy is to be marooned with Kate Winslet. And she's wonderful. I've never met her, but she comes over as having one of the most important things in a woman. She makes...
matchstick cathedrals.
She makes you laugh. Yeah. Sex with her would be...
incredibly unlikely.
Fantastic. My name for my wife, Jenny, is the...
most unfortunate woman that ever lived.
The booby. I met the booby at a...
wife raffle.
at a party. My wife's place is in the kitchen, and she knows it. I wouldn't dream of...
putting her basket anywhere else.
Wouldn't dream of doing housework. How lucky the grateful booby is. I'm a sexual athlete and magnificent in...
no sense of the word.
In bed. After 31 years in the job, I was devastated at being sacked from...
Pan's People.
Channel 4's Racing. It was ageism. Who else has my experience? No one. If I was 42, they'd bite my...
booby.
Bite my hands off, yes. Okay, TV cookery competitions are a runaway success at the moment, so we thought it was time there was a radio version. But first, the teams needed some instruction in culinary skills. Luckily, in addition to his acting work, Miles Jupp is also a chef specialising in less common meat dishes, which he offered to demonstrate. So this morning he brought in some venison and taught us to cook. The venison was tender, but the tortoise was a bit rubbery. Now, this week's cookery competition is the Great Wireless Bake Off. So our bakers are Tim and Miles, and the name of the item that they'll be baking today will now be broadcast via the laser display board. And for listeners at home, here is the mystery voice.
Check-in and mushroom pie. Check-in and mushroom pie.
Okay, so if you're ready, judges, Tim and Miles, your baking time starts now.
Well, for this you will need 3 chicken breasts. All chefs are required to buy their chicken online and in advance.
For your safety and convenience, there is a mushroom allowance of 50 grams. 500 grams of ready-made shortcrust pastry. And choose a baking tray which does not measure more than 55 centimetres by 40 centimetres by 20 centimetres.
So you just need to preheat your oven to 200 degrees centigrade, or lower if your oven is fan-assisted, or you have paid for speedy baking. Finally, remove all ingredients and place them in the baking tray along with your belt, shoes and any loose chain.
Please note that your oven door will close 30 minutes prior to cooking time.
Cooking should last 25 minutes, but will be unaccountably delayed.
Is there a plane connection?
Yeah. Oh. Is it a named airline?
No.
Heathrow? Stansted?
It's not an airport.
Is it an aeroplane?
The mumbling you can hear from the audience is the sound of disappointment.
The chicken desk.
Yes.
And what were the other things?
Oh, I nodded off.
I wasn't listening. Chicken mushroom. Chicken.
Or whatever it is, we'll put in a liquidizer for you.
I think you've got the basic ingredients.
Chicken and mushroom pie.
Correct.
Well, it's music time again with Swanee Kazoo. This is where the teams play duets, combining the smooth glissando of the Swanee whistle with the scraping rasp of the kazoo. Musical accompaniment will be provided by Colin Sell. Listeners may not be aware that back in the 80s, Colin was responsible for producing the specials. Most days it was a free Coke with a quarter pounder and fries. Tim and Miles, you can start, and I'd like you to provide us with a rendition of the Dance of the Hours to feature Miles Jupp on the kazoo and Tim Brooke Taylor on the Swanee whistle. Barry and Graham, I'd like you to provide us with a rendition of the Flower Duet. That's from Lakme by Delib, to feature Barry Cryer on the kazoo and Graham Garden on the Swanee whistle. Oh, I was hoping to end things on a happier note. Let's see if we can. It's very nearly the end of the show, but there is just time. There is just time for a round of the IT songbook. Samantha has to go now, as she's booked a few hours with a gentleman from IT who's going to sort out her Wi-Fi problems. Samantha says he's promised to work on her modem setup and router all evening. So while she's away enjoying that, I'll ask you teams to suggest titles of songs that might appeal to an audience of computer enthusiasts. Graham, you could start, please.
Kindle in the Wind.
Miles.
iPad, The Time of My Life.
Tim.
USB, An Angel. Don't spam so close to me.
Barry?
Yahoo, get off of my cloud.
He ain't heavy, he's my browser.
How much is that dongle in the window?
Hewlett-Packard, The Dog's Out.
We'll keep a webcam in the hillsides.
The boogie-woogie Google boy from Company B.
Please retweet me by Engelbert Printer Inc. If you're Apple and you know it, clap your hands.
She's lost control, alt delete.
When I'm running Windows.
So, ladies and gentlemen, with that, it is the end of the show. It remains only for me to point out that no animals were actually harmed in the making of this show, apart from the tortoise Miles Jupp boiled live for our lunch. So, from the team, Samantha, myself, and our audience here in Chesterfield, it's goodbye. Goodbye.
Barry Furler, Graham Garden, Tim Brooke Taylor and Miles Jupp will be given silly things to do by Jack D, with Colin Sell setting some of them to music. The programme consultant was Ian Pattinson, and the producer was John Naismith.